And you know something? Each time we gather in the name of the Lord, for whatever the occasion might be, Sunday worship, a care group meeting, a Bible study, or even an outing that we often organize to fellowship one with another. What is our focus? Is our focus on something that is, yes, spiritual, but may not be addressing what truly is most necessary whenever the people of God gather together? And that which is most necessary is our need for God. Because if there is no need for God, why even bother together? Why else would the Lord say to Solomon, after he had built a glorious temple, prayed that fantastic high priestly prayer, acknowledging God for who He is, giving thanks for what He has done. The Lord says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. First thing, if my people would humble themselves. To say that you and I have a need is an expression of humility. I need you, God. I may think I have everything. I'm strong. I'm rich. I'm successful. I have status in life. I have everything going well for me. Jesus says, what shall it profit a person if he has everything, gains the whole world, wins everything and every time, but loses his soul? You know, I believe today God really will be speaking a very challenging message to us. A message that I was supposed to have spoken last week, but because of what I'll mention later, Elder Manseng took the pulpit. But I did tell Brian, who, as you know, has led in our service this morning, that I'll still take that message. He only knows what it is. You all know also, because in our weekly announcements, the pre-reading for the week ahead, to be God's watchman. But the rest of the songs that Brian chose, I'll tell you, even this last song here for us at THOP, I think it's the first time we are singing. I honestly haven't known this song. But for what this song helps us to express and to know about God, and all the other songs that have led us, even a reminder of how we are like sheep that have gone astray. Each one of us has gone our own way. And how the Bible says, no, there is none, not one that is righteous. Even our most righteous deeds before the holy, almighty, perfect God are but like filthy rags. Isaiah is one prophet who doesn't mince his words and who speaks as he speaks, thus says the Lord. And so, Lord, we humbly come before you, not just in the posture of humility outwardly, but the humility of our hearts, the surrender of our will, to acknowledge that we have all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. To be warned that the wages, the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. To know that that doesn't mean that just because we have been saved, our life will be a perfect pathway ahead, a bed of roses. Everything will just fall in place. Everything will be good. Health, wealth, happiness, success, part of the gospel that we expect Jesus to bestow on us. And yet Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, the gate is narrow. The way is difficult that leads to heaven. But that leads to hell. The gate is wide. The way is broad way. And many will go there. Church, we come before God and we acknowledge our sins. We confess our wrongdoings. It doesn't matter that we have to enumerate them. It does matter that we honestly acknowledge and in humility of heart, by the grace of God, through faith in Christ Jesus, we receive His cleansing, His forgiveness, and His healing and restoration. And we stand right now justified. That now when we come, Bible says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercies that are ever so free flowing to us, and grace and help in time of whatever need. Yes, we stand as people with needs, every one of us. But we also are people with burdens. But we thank the Lord that the gathering of God's people, that we are urged not to forsake, is a gathering that will encourage, that will, even the word is used, is provoke one another unto love and to greater works for the Lord. That's what really is all to life in this temporal world. Heavens and earth will pass away. Jesus says, my words will never pass away. So Lord, may our minds be focused on these thoughts. Our hearts open and receptive. Our ears listening clearly to the word, a simple word that you speak to us today. And may we respond, O Lord, in total awe and adoration, sincere worship and thanksgiving. And when we say God is a good God, it's not just some slogan, some euphemism, some nice sounding word of honor or praise. But from the depth of our hearts, the goodness of God has really found a place. So Lord, we honor you. Let this worship truly bring glory to your name. And let this fellowship continue to be one, where like living stones, we come to Jesus, the cornerstone, and we allow Him to build us up as a spiritual house unto His purposes and for His glory. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior's name. And everyone says, amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you, Brian. And thank you, Lai, Sherlene, and Rachel over there. Simple worship team, but I'm very sure that these are people and others also who will always take that responsibility very, very seriously. They are not just picking up songs for some singspiration and warming up session and waiting for latecomers. No, no, no. They are songs of worship and thanksgiving. I just want to welcome Joel and May. Just stand up. They don't really know you, but Joel is the elder son of Sister Lily, my sister-in-law, whom you know, and May. They did say that they are coming. I'm so glad you come the very next week. God bless you. Yep. By the way, they are members of our church. I baptized May. She reminded me that Joel Tan, where's our Joel Tan? The other Joel Tan. Yeah. You did follow up with her, you know, on the baptism course. Take a seat. Okay. So let me also, on their behalf, thank your church for your condolences, for your love, for the way you've supported during the past weekend. Incidentally, Sally is not here today because last night, whole night, she was having a bout with diarrhea. So I don't know what's going to happen afterwards also. But express our thanks to you. You know, it was really wonderful. And I really thought, you know, when I normally just ask Brian and other worship leaders, just let me know what is the last song you're taking. Look to my direction, nod your head, and I know I'll be ready to come up. Or like in previous times, you know, pastor always normally will be standing there still shaking everybody's hand. And the moment you see pastor comes in, means message I lai liao, huh? Listen to the message. But today I decided from the very outset, it's a worship that I need myself as much as all of us. You know, church is only as meaningful as you find meaning in the fellowship. If it's just a social gathering, it's just a feel-good occasion for us to come together. Churches, as you are well known, some can even employ professional bands and singers just to create the atmosphere. But is that a church? And you recall some time back I mentioned, preach concerning how the Lord says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. You building a house for me? Don't kid me. Whatever that you have, the materials, the resources to build, they are all from me. I've created them all. Stella, I just want to acknowledge you. So good to see you. We've not seen you for a while, but so glad this morning you came in. Yep. This morning, I want to speak on the topic of becoming God's watchman. And I really appreciate what it is for what I've shared with you earlier, that perhaps that serves as a good introduction on the importance of this topic, what it really means to us, and what we really should do. Are we each and every single one of us a watchman? And I'm just using the word watchman. No need to be so woke, huh? Must be a woman, then man, then woman, and you know, that kind of language is not necessary here. When I say watchman, I mean every one of us. And these two passages that had been mentioned, and you know, we've been looking at Ezekiel chapter 3 and then chapter 33, they are actually repeated passage in the sense of in chapter 33, it repeats what is stated in chapter 3. Now, I don't want to go into context too much, because sometimes giving too much content, you get distracted by the key points. Ezekiel was basically a prophet that prophesied, ministered during the years that the nation of Israel, in their disobedience, was cast out in exile, and they were under the Babylonians. And Ezekiel, like many of the other major prophets, they are called major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, not because they are more senior than the other 12 minor prophets. It's just that their writings are longer. So that's why they're called major prophets. So Ezekiel, in chapter 3, after having spent 7 days with the people of God, the nation of Israel, who were in exile. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, you see, the word of God comes often only when you have been waiting for Him. And waiting, not just at your own time, in your own convenience, at your own comfort. Oh, I want to wait for the Lord. I only have this time or whatever. Here was a man who so empathized and understood the judgment of God on the people that had become faithless, rebellious, stiff-necked, and therefore God, in His mercy really, chastised them. Whom the Lord loves, He chastises. If you think that your life is full of chastisement, God bless you. If your life is far too much smooth sailing, that you can just do anything you want, any old how you want, watch it. I trust flashing lights are blinking quickly in your life. So he was there for 7 days to feel with the people, not just to speak as, I'm holier than thou. I hear from God. I'm the pastor. Just submit to me. He identified. And only then, the word of the Lord says, Son of Man. And the term of Son of Man is really a term of servanthood. Of course, when reference to Jesus Christ, it means also His divinity. And yet, a divine God who abdicate everything that He had. In Philippians chapter 2, you read that. Took the form of man, learned obedience, even obedience unto death. And therefore, Jesus was exalted above all other names. We have Jesus as our example. But here was God speaking directly to his prophets. And I want to tell you also that I think this is something that God, in his mercy, is allowing the church, even our church, to reclaim. Consistently, we'll preach the Bible. And I'll come to that towards the end of my message. But there must be a thus saith the Lord moment. And perhaps many moments, especially during this difficult, confusing, or the Bible says, dangerous times. In the last days, they are dangerous days. God says to Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. You're just my mouthpiece. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, in his sin, but you have delivered your soul because you have spoken the word. Then the record goes on to talk about some of the words, prophecies that the nation of Israel had to hear. And coming now next to chapter 33. Sorry, not moving. Okay, let me just... it's out already. Ezekiel 33. Actually, it's a repetition of what we've just read. But interestingly, before the same repetition was given, from verse 7 onwards to verse 9, verses 1 to 6, God seems to be speaking to a different audience first, before he turns back and speaks to Ezekiel. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Very similar to what we read earlier in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Very similar to, and I've not put this up for you, because if you have your Bible or your gadget, whatever, you read verses 7 to 9. It was a repetition. But before the repetition of those same words to Ezekiel, God mentioned the larger group of people. So I'm just going to use these two passages. And I think there are some simple thoughts that we want to take note of concerning what it means and what it is that we have to do as a watchman of God. Today is not moving very good. Okay. The first thing you note is the appointment of the watchman. And I'll just repeat those verses that you have read. Justin, just help me. Where to Ezekiel himself,
He says, Son of man, I made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Next. And then to Ezekiel, but to the larger group of the people of Israel. Son of man, speak to the children of your people. Say to them, when I bring the sword, so on and so forth. What is the first point that we need to recognize? That the appointment of God is for all of us. We are all called to be watchmen. Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. Chapter 3. Comes to chapter 33 before God repeats the same task that he wanted, an appointment that he made of Ezekiel. God spoke about the other people. And how, when the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, the people appoints them. How does that apply here? I trust that God has called me past 47 years now to be a pastor, to or at least go into the ministry. But then now, each one of us here is also a shepherd, is also a pastor, is also a priest or priestess. We are called what we all agree on and understand to be the priesthood of believers. When the Apostle Paul writes about the fivefold gifts in the book of Ephesians, he says God appoints some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as teachers, some as pastors. Doesn't matter what your appointment might be. But these are people that God will use, people appointed to these offices, that they will equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So don't think that the pastor is the only one doing the work. He can't. He's not able to. I may be the one, or whoever the pastor might be, usually speaking every Sunday or for the sermon. But many of you as co-laborers, under shepherds, like the pastor himself is also an under shepherd. And you are all called to be a watchman. Question is really simple. Have you ever seen yourself, consider yourself to be a watchman? Or you are here, yes, I'm a watchman by watching people. I'm like coming to a theater, I watch a show, I watch around. You are eyes for God and warning for God's people. So don't belittle yourself. Or don't think I'm not significant. I do the small little things behind the scenes nobody sees. That's also important. But whatever task, whatever ministries that you may feel inclined to be involved in because you feel that's what God has put in your heart, that's where God you think has gifted you to do that work, and you have that desire, all this works up, and then you want to serve God. But then having said that, behind whatever ministry you are doing, serving, ushering, greeting people, pantry ministry, doing things behind the scenes, ushering and all, they come very early. These chairs didn't just suddenly fall in place, you know. The ushers can come in and say, fall in, and then the chairs start finding their places. Never. They adjusted. They get feedback. Please have an aisle in the middle, then easier to walk out. They take feedback. And they do this. Sound system, earlier this morning, I was told, screen's not working. But I said, aircon working or not? More important. Because I know many of you sweat over the heat, right? I trust it's okay. Well, you don't know, I don't know. We might still be looking around for something new or whatever. But my point is, whatever you are called to be and what you are asked to do, especially when you are only looking in terms of straightforward church ministries, organizational chart, this is my area, that is yours, this is my purview, that is yours. Yes, we are independent individually. Ministry that focus on children. Actually, our ministries are redirected already. Where traditionally it used to be church organization structure, be administration department, Christian education department, pastoral department, music department, missions department. These are the standard ways. you know that over time, we have really focused on the people, the age groups, children's ministry, youth and young adults, older ones. I understand, yes, we do know that there are a number of married couples ages from 40 onwards to just before 50 or hitting 50. So these are not covered. We may want to have something done in this. You see, we can organize. My point is you can organize ministries. You can organize events. You can be very creative. And people enjoy. But behind your enjoyment, and I trust your edification being built up in the faith, are you watching out for one another? Are you your brother's keeper, your sister's keeper? Are you more concerned only about the physical, social well-being of members? How are you doing? Of course we are. We have people who are sick, visit them in the hospital, pray for them. People who are in need, we have a ministry, try to provide financial support. But it's not just running a charity or a hospital that the church is called to do. It is the salvation, the status of the souls of men and women that underline where God has placed you, what God has called you to do. You know, you're watching out. God has put you in an important position. That's your appointment. Next slide. Then what is your assignment? You just click for me as I move along. And again, I'll just pick up the one from Isaiah, that first of all, he says, you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning. When you say to the, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. Those were the words that God gave through Ezekiel chapter 3. Next slide. Or next one. In chapter 33, it says, when you see the sword coming upon the land, are you sounding God's warning? Actually, the warnings are very clear now, you know. We are really living, like the Bible says, in perilous times. Chaotic times. Ever since this current president has been elected again, the whole world is just topsy-turvy. His whims and fancies. He says something, and I hear from people that are in the business, and they'll say, hey, you see, the timing of his messages will be just nice for himself, families, cronies to capitalize on. And we are simple people, you know. When we read the book of Thessalonians, God tells us very simple. Live peaceable lives. Be at peace. Work. He who doesn't work doesn't eat. Very fundamental, simple Christian principles that are very basic tenets of principles for ordinary life. It's not something spectacular. But I think in the last days, there is now such a need for a more heightened prophetic ministry. I know prophetic ministry is something that people have different views on, maybe because of different experiences. Why did we choose for the theme for our church this year? Test everything. Test everything. Hold on, hold fast to what is good, not what is spectacular. And I think there's a reason for that. We don't be caught up by the spectacular, the miraculous, the signs and wonders. Not that we don't believe in them, but we want the real ones. We don't want counterfeits, and there are counterfeits. We don't smooth for talkers. People who can, through their appeals, the way they sway your hearts, convict you, hold you with emotional baggage even. All they are like what the Bible calls in the book of Corinthians, charlatans, peddlers of the gospel. What is the meaning of peddlers of the gospel? Sell snake oil. Sell snake oil, not the real one. That is the warning given to us. That in this environment of real spiritual attack, where our guards are being let down, where we are just comfortable with, very slight, never mind. No, a lot of things that is like a lot of things not important. But when it comes to things that are important, things that are convictions of faith, things that move away from truth to gray areas and say, this is acceptable. Let's be very careful. I mentioned earlier that our church, and I'll say this now, the pulpit ministry to me is the most important, not because I'm doing it, but because this is where on Sunday, majority, all of us are here. You have your different meetings at the different age groups. So what comes out from here better be something that is really for everybody and really will equip you as you are being edified and built up. How to equip, how to edify if you are not using the Word of God? You don't come to church to hear a sermon that is a motivational talk. 7 habits of successful people. Begin always with the end in mind. Now, don't get me wrong. I concur with all these things. But the spiritual bankruptcy to these principles are obvious. God says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I own everything and I hold everything in my hands. We better know His template and not the template of the world and even of so-called successful people. But what's the most important template? And that's why over the last few days, actually something that I shared last Sunday, putting the 2 passages of scripture about God, our good shepherd, Psalm 23. He will see you through in life. But life is just a temporal journey. I always say, you can live up to 100 years of success, well-being, everything good, but at the end of life, you don't cross the finish line and go over to Jesus. All your successes, all your healings, all your miracles mean nothing. Conversely, you may actually live 100 years of hardship, suffering, stress, burden, praying for people, but you cross the line. You hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the master from the Lord. You look back. You don't even think about your struggles and your sicknesses and your stresses. God's perspective. God's perspective for our life. You will be a watchman for God when you have the perspective of God and not just the purposes on life, of life on this earth. So we see that simply the message is actually mentioned 3 times, right? Chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, 33, 1 to 6, and then if you read on 7 to 9, similar. We always say when God says one time, important, 2 times He's knocking your head. 3rd time, you better wake up. You better wake up. We better wake up. So let's look at our last point. What's the last point? Our accountability. Just put out the verses. And I don't have to read this. Basically, it's saying that, have you done your job? If you did not sound the warning and the wicked die, blood is in your hand. But if you sounded the warning and they still ignore, that man, that woman dies by his or her own iniquity, you are free. What does it mean to have blood on your hand? I read and I check out again and all that, and I realize commentators got no clue. As a phrase, blood in your hands, we know what it means. You're responsible. This happened to me because of you. It's just about accountability and responsibility. And the clearest that I think most commentators come to get on this is James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not any one of you want to be teachers because you are held to a higher judgment. But that does not mean you are excused from getting or doing responsible tasks and overseeing people. It's just that the awesome task of God is so often minimalized that we think not important. This is church. My business comes first. My family comes first. My own desires, whatever that I want to do, come. Got time, Pastor? Josimi, what do you want me to do? Need money, okay, I have. Got spares, whatever. Leftovers.
He said, Lord, I worship you.
Why Bible talks about bringing your first fruits? First fruits are that which you set aside.
When in olden days, they dare to sacrifice a lame animal, a sick sacrifice, they're going to get struck.
In the New Testament, the first striking down, Ananias and Sapphira, sell property. You can give whatever you want, but come to Peter. Everything I sow, I give. You did not lie to me. Peter says you lied to the Holy Spirit. Boom, die. A few hours later, the wife came back from shopping and said, yeah, this one, my husband and I, very touched by God, very blessed by God. So we sell already. So these are everything. You sure, huh? Peter actually gave her a chance. Yeah, everything. Boom, die. Now we say, oh, if only God deals with us the same way now. I tell you, no need church already. We all struck already. Be serious. How serious are we? And personally, like I said, and I'll come back to our pulpit again. When I first started ministry 47 years ago, I had very helpful senior people. But it come. And I always use them. Let them Salem, no pastor. I just use all outside speakers anywhere that I know that no pastor Kernan. Then one of them said, I teach you to preach, don't worry. I teach you to do this, I do that. Then some say, oh, you must pray. Pray very hard. Pray until you get a message. No message, then how? And I know that until today, some older pastors that I talk to, they were going to speak next week. Don't know. God hasn't told me yet. And then as a side, I heard now, pastors now, Saturday night, come back from having a wonderful week, click AI, give me a sermon outline. You are getting it. And I think that is the abomination above all. When AI, artificial intelligence, start to, what do you call it? It was a word for making another of yourself. You say, no, oh, nah. A clone, that's why. I always think of clown. I know cannot be clown, lah, you know. When you clown one that has got emotional responses, that's it already. I don't need a perfect wife. I don't need a perfect woman, a man or husband. I just need one that does my wishes. I'm God. I created this. Just that's how serious it is. You know, I'm not a social media guy. You all know that. So anybody tell me, say, pastor's Facebook bluff, huh? I always tell them, I got a face, I did write a book, but I got no Facebook. I got no feed for social media. No Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter. Hey, pastor, where got Twitter? Now it's X. Okay, lah, then no fix lah. No fix for social media. I just somehow didn't feel inclined. I don't need to check how many likes I have or whatever. I don't have anything anyway. But I worry that I may also be tempted. Intelligence, technology, knowledge, all comes from the Lord anyway. Through Daniel, the Lord warns, in the last days, knowledge will increase. Where last time we used what? Memorize mathematics, timetable, right? Arithmetic. 1 times 1 is 2, 1 times 2 times 2, 4, and all that. We always do that. Now they say, whatever that can be found, don't memorize. Data is not the issue. Discernment is the test. How do you use it? No, don't. I am not saying to anybody, if you use AI technology, please go ahead. But just for the information, for the data. Because if you want to go back, today I just did some changes. I could do straight away. Last time, how can do that? Today only clicker never work a lot. That's all. Either battery weak or whatever, I don't know. The accountability. Click the next one. It's very simple. God holds us responsible. So let me conclude my message today. It's a very simple message. You are called to be a watchman. You have an assignment. And you will face God for your accountability, not your pastor. Okay? Pastor, you can ignore. You can write roughshod over him. Not important. So let me conclude with this verse again. He sees the sword coming upon the land. He blows the trumpet and warns the people. I mention again, this pulpit, our approach is very simple. while I'm on a series, as I felt the Lord impressed upon me, we've just done 1 Thessalonians. And the reason was because of our integration with Neighborhood Baptist Church. And I was so touched by what Brian shared at the beginning when he says, go to someone, share something you can be thankful for. You'll miss that, some of you who came a little later. And Brian shared, so thankful for the times. I think it's 3 months plus. Right? The hospitality, the love, the sincerity. We are one. I think that's so important. So we did 1 Thessalonians. Next week onwards, God willing, we're going to do the book of James. And I tell why the book of James was impressed upon me. Because they are the practical expressions of faith. Faith without works is dead. Don't boast about faith, miracles, signs and wonders when we cannot even live a simple life of faith. But along with that, actually today is supposed to be Mother's Day, right? But because we know this time, very hard to celebrate, very thing, everybody says, I think maybe this year alone we give it a skip. And many of you may have made plans already. That's okay. But what I'm trying to say is that when occasions come, like some weeks back, we have the Passion Week. And that's why we talk about the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Actually, next week there is the Ascension, but it's on the Thursday. We don't purposely have a meeting for that. And then the week after, Pastor Josh called me and said he'll be in Singapore. Would you like me to speak on the 24th of May? I said, of course, you know. In spite of the war, he now instead of going direct from India to India, he comes by the Pacific this time instead of the Atlantic. It's 35 years of ministry already. Hope for Asia Bible College. We definitely had very much in that world. So my point to you is that we will keep book preaching as a standard guide, but we will always be flexible because of special occasions, special events in the Christian calendar, or even special events that happen that we feel that we need to address and understand as a church. I think that's a good approach. I don't have to follow my old pastors, pray until siao, until buyao. Still got no message. How? Can you come and take over tomorrow? I'm very jittery. Or come and preach and I stutter. But I don't know. It's not about me. It's about the Lord, about His people. So let me conclude today's message by this last simple question. What do you see? What are you seeing now in your life, in the lives of people around you, in the life of the world? What do you see? What must you do? Oh, I see that I'm okay with my health. I'm very happy with my spouse. Thankful for children that are... Now I'm just talking about a typical Singaporean approach. God is good. We have sufficiency in terms of food, shelter. We are well respected. Everything is going fine. But this life is temporal. It can be as fine as 100 years of blissful living, like I said earlier. Or it can be as difficult and adverse as 100 years of suffering and adversities. Doesn't matter. The pathway that you walk in life is not so much one of prosperity and peace and profits, or one of burdens and problems and whatever. It's not the pathway. It's who is walking with you. The person that is walking with you. And I'll conclude that that's why this church came, the road to Emmaus. Elder Bunsing actually has same thought, but he was not aware that I was going to speak from there, but I think no problem. You need more insights. The road to Emmaus. Why would, after the resurrection of Jesus, 2 disciples decide to walk away from where the real action is, where their life should be? They want to go back to their hometown. Emmaus, the term means hot spring. Resort area, go for spa, go for whatever. Oh, we go for our church retreat also, right? Go. And when Jesus walked with them and showed that they had been walking the wrong road, the road to Emmaus, a journey with Christ, actually it's a journey that Jesus joined, not that you call him, a journey with Christ. but a journey of change. You walk back. Jerusalem messy like crazy, you know. Subsequent to the death of Jesus, the next 40 years leading to Roman persecution, the burning down of Jerusalem and the temple. You want to go that place? I think migrate to Switzerland. Migrate to Australia. Greener pastures elsewhere. The pasture is as green and as good as when Jesus is there with you. And the pasture is as troublesome, as dangerous as you are alone and without God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We trust that over the past weeks, the messages that you've been speaking to us on prayer, on worship, on the fear of the Lord, on not exchanging for a bad deal like Esau did. And today, Lord, being your washed person, being very, very discerning, be sober, be watchful, because these days are perilous days. For some, they may seem prosperous and everything well and good. But so what? That unless it is you, Lord, who have convicted their hearts and led them clearly in certain things you want them to do. But for others, may we not become the typical Singaporean scared to lose, scared to miss out. See friends, heard of relatives, making tons so effortlessly. Can that be right? And it's precisely, Lord, it is in the last days when greed guides the heart. Self says, I do what is right in my own eyes. Days of Noah, days of the judges. God says, enough. My spirit will strive no longer with you. We are in such days. However long, short, God determines. But we are called to be God's watchmen. We have been given an assignment. And we will be all held accountable. Forgive us again, Lord, we pray. Not praying for forgiveness just out of frivolity. I'm truly thankful that, Lord, so often you are the good shepherd, that when the sheep walks astray, you lead the sheep back. You're always leading us back unto the path that is straight and narrow, the way of the Lord, the journey with Jesus, and for the changes you choose to do in and through our lives for our own good blessing, and the building up of your kingdom and the glory of your name. Lord, we pray as a church, as a family, we pray one for another right now. Every single individual, every family represented. Those who are joining us through Zoom service. Those who are not with us but are unable to join, but they know that we are gathering at this time and we unite with them and we include them, that as a church, as a family, we come before you. Pray for our loved ones, especially for those who have yet to know you as their personal Savior and Lord. Pray for those who are in distress or who are sick, and those who are struggling with their faith, that only you know all things. You feed the sparrows in the sky. You clothe the lilies in the fields. Even the glory of Solomon comes nowhere close to you, your glory and your goodness. So we thank you. What a privilege. What a blessing that we can pray and pray sincerely and pray with love. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the message. Very timely and important for us to remember the reason for our stay here on earth. How come we are still here on earth? If it's just for heaven, then God, you know, on the day we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, ask for forgiveness, repent, boom, we should go to heaven already. But we are still here. Why? And may this message this morning that Pastor shared with us be something that help us to remember the reason for our being here. The watchman whom God has placed us at our homes, at our workplaces, to the people whom we see day in and day out. Sound the alarm. Sound the warning. Amen. Announcements, please. Yeah. Okay, next week's pre-reading, Count It All Joy. Okay, we're starting on the book of James. So James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Normally at this time, you take down notes, right? Take a picture so that you know how to read, where to read for next week's message. Okay, James 1 to 12. Exodus series for the Yaya group. Joel May, Yaya means the Yaya group. The young, actually the second A should be a small letter. Young and the youth and young adults, yes. Youth and young adults. Okay, next session is when, Joel? Sorry, Joel Tan and Joel Tan behind you. 16, is it? Yeah, 16. Okay, if you're a Yaya and your name is not in the group chat, right, Joel? Please let Joel or Yihui know, okay, so that you can be kept informed of the activities, the events, the timings, and so on. Okay, next. Watch 1 hour. Sister Sun Li will be leading us together with Shana, Shimin, Ethel, Wei Li, and Jerome. Jerome, where are you? Not here. Thanks for representing the brothers, the rest of sisters. Okay, next. Okay, financial giving, yeah. Please, sir, can I invite the ushers to come? Ask Brother Teo, please, to lead us in prayer.
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to offer our tithes and offering, we come before you with hearts full of faith and gratitude. We acknowledge that everything we have comes from you, and we give in obedience and worship. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 11:6. We offer these tithes as an expression of our love and trust in your provision. May it be used to further your kingdom and bless those in need. Lord, as we give, we ask that you open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon our life. In Jesus' name, our provider, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Those who like to do e-giving, the QR code, the bank account is there. Okay, next. This is our fellowship outing and dinner. Bowling Tree. Registration is closed already. Okay, so those who have registered, details separately to you. We'll be doing bowling or having bowling. We have increased. The response is so overwhelming. We are having 90 people. Okay, so we have extended the bowling lanes from 6 to 8 lanes. Okay, and of course, dinner also extended lah. Okay, dinner will be at Amo Kyo at Kim Tin. So we will arrange that. Okay, so those who are registered, look out for the messages in your WhatsApp later on. Yeah. That's all?
Where's the camp announcement? No camp announcement. Okay, camp, all those attending the camp this year, next week there's a briefing after church. Okay? So, hey, Jerome, you're back. Just now I was calling you. Yeah. No, I mentioned so that people know you're present, that you're not absent. where was I? Okay, next week, briefing. Ansley, next week, after church, there'll be a briefing for all campus. Closing date. Close already? Close already. So, no way. If somebody last minute, no way. No way. Wow, I tell you, committee say no way. Maybe you go and plead with them. You haven't registered. Suddenly now you can go. Try and pull their hand and whatever. Okay. Next week is the briefing. Okay, let's all stand. Sorry. Don't stand. Don't stand. Let the mothers stand. Mothers, please stand. Please look around you. We're just going to... Today, no cake. No cake because... why? Rene, why no cake? Don't know why. This year got budget. Okay, but more important than cake, a prayer for the mothers. Come, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Blessed Mother's Day this day. We pray for all our mothers. In the name of Jesus Christ, the awesome responsibility, Lord, in bringing up the child, children in their fold. We pray, God, for such wisdom, for such joy. Lord, even as they go about showing forth that love, that care, pointing their children to Jesus Christ, that they too will come to know Jesus Christ themselves in time to come. We pray, O God, for your strength, Lord, upon them. Lord, even the trying times that they go through, especially with the older children, Lord, we pray for your grace. Indeed, Lord, that you just help them to know how to respond to growing up children in their teens, in their teenage years. And Lord, continuing in life, that Lord, there'll be that spiritual and godly influence in the family because of our mothers, Lord. Thank you. So we pray that you bless them. Lord, keep them, and we ask God that the husbands, Lord, and others who can be that influence upon the mothers, Lord, to show forth that love, that care for them, Lord, and the appreciation for all their works. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.